Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is TP Radio, and I am your host, Jason Easley. And tonight we have a program that I like to call the Very, Very Ron Paul Radio Show. We're going to be talking about Dr. Paul for the full half hour. We're going to talk about his positions, why Fox News hates him, why the guy can't get a break, why the Republican Party can't stand to have an actual conservative on its podiums or on the floor with its fellow candidates, and about your phone calls and just about anything else we can come up with. Our telephone number is 718-664-6734. You can reach us via instant message on AIM at CAPJ71. Let me bring in Will. Let's say hi to Will.
Hi.
Hi, Will.
Hi.
How are you? Hi.
Good. How are you?
Look at the big yellow school bus. Hi.
I'm reading the little school board, my cue card.
I'm doing fine, my friend. How's everything going for you?
Good. Good. Really good.
Oh.
How about
okay,
yourself?
You're not used to being in the second slot, are you? You're used to bringing in last and getting to talk to George. So let's bring in George right now. If I can find George.
Hello, George. Hello
hi,
there.
George.
Hello, gentlemen.
Everyone say hi to George. Hi, George.
Hi, George.
George is in a good mood because the Yankees held on to beat the Tampa Bay Devil Eggs 7-6.
And I am very pleased with that, yes. I'll take anyone
and
I can
hang
get.
On to beat the team with the worst record in Major League Baseball.
Hey, and not only that, but we came from behind twice. So
ooh.
I will definitely take that.
Okay, guys, the topic of the day is Dr. Paul. We already have a call on the line, but before we get to the phone call, which I'll get to in 1 second, I promise, I want to ask both of you, what do you like about Ron Paul? George.
I like the fact that he is saying something that makes total sense, and I love the fact that it scares the hell out of everybody around him.
Okay, well, what do you like about Ron Paul? It can be a position, it can be just about anything.
Well, it's not just because he was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is,
I saw that today, too. There was a natural reason why we liked him.
He's a local boy.
He's Western Pennsylvanian. Okay, it's not just the fact he's a local. He was born a local guy. What is it?
But to me, he exemplifies what our founding fathers wanted this country to be and how to conduct itself. And also, as I was reading on his website, he never votes for legislation unless the proposed measure is expressly authorized by the Constitution.
Wow. I mean, that has its good and bad. But it also means that at least he's willing to follow the intent of what the nation was founded on. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and not keep our caller waiting for too very long here. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our caller. If I can scroll down to the button. There we go. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, great. Hi, this is Judith calling in. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Great. I'm glad you called. I'm glad you got my email from earlier in the week.
Yes, really.
So why did you support Dr. Paul?
Well, for a few reasons. I think one of your guests said it very, very well. He is a constitutionalist. And our country so desperately needs somebody like him right now. They need someone to follow the Constitution. We have a president right now who completely disregards the Constitution, and I think the consequences of that are disastrous. So one of the reasons that I support Dr. Paul is because he's very much wanting to end the conflict in Iraq and bring the troops home. So I very much like his non-interventionist foreign policy. But as he also says, it's not isolationism. What he wants to do is have trade relations with these nations, not to go to war with them. And so when I think about what his policy is and what he would do, it just makes so much more sense to me. And I just don't think...
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to make sure we addressed it later tonight.
Okay.
There's a difference between interventionism and isolationism. And
right.
Most of the Republican Party, and we're looking at Fox News and several of the other networks, they have
a real, they paint Dr. Paul as an isolationist, an anti-American isolationist.
Right, and I think that's incorrect.
It's not accurate at all.
Right, I think it's absolutely incorrect.
Now, let me bring in George and Will. Do you have anything to say here to Judith? We have an actual Ron Paul supporter on the line.
I'm just wondering, like, what else Ron Paul needs to do to really kind of get his message out there, because he's obviously getting the internet behind him, but at the same time, like, as we've seen in films and everything, like, that can only go so far. So what I'm wondering is what he needs to do to really kind of break through that glass ceiling that's currently over him right now.
And this is just my opinion, please. I'm not a political person. I'm just a supporter of the man. Prior to his candidacy, I have never supported a political candidate, either with time or money. But I think he is doing all the right things. There's an event that's coming up on August the 11th in Ames, Iowa. It's a straw poll. And our meetup group, which is Pennsylvania, Trenton, that area, is looking to put a to people together to actually go and volunteer for that event. And I think that if we can get many, many people to show up at that event, it would show the public, it would certainly show, Fox News, that the man is not just about the internet. He has true supporters who are willing to get on a bus, go to Iowa, volunteer to support him in every way that they can, and also to obviously take a call list, which I will also do, and do a call out to people in Iowa to encourage them to attend this event and actually to take a look at Dr. Paul and just consider his views, consider his platform. And I think it's going to take a lot of grassroots efforts like that.
Yeah, the whole not just the Republican Party system, but the Democratic Party system is really built against a candidate like Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really designed to let a candidate like Ron Paul in. So it's going to take a colossal grassroots effort to really get people motivated. And if you get people motivated, you then have a chance to break through. Until then, though, he's going to be treated as the networks. Except for, I'll be honest, CNN, because they run a political ticker every day. That's probably the only network that actually gives Ron Paul any sort of balanced coverage right now.
MSNBC
kind of ignores him. They don't treat him badly, but they don't really talk about him. Fox, he's the devil on Fox.
Well, yeah,
and, I mean,
I think
that's terrible.
Yeah, we need to set Fox News aside. But you know who I think is starting to really like Dr. Ron Paul a lot and have him on his show is a gentleman by the name of Tucker Carlson. So,
Tucker.
Oh, Carlson Tucker, sorry. He's got two first names.
Yeah, Carlson Tucker. Right.
Yeah. I think that, he's starting to look at Dr. Paul a bit differently. And more recently, he's saying to Dr. Paul, instead of like, there's no chance for you, he's starting to say, you know what, I think you're a boutique candidate, so how do we take you to the next level? And what Ron Paul said was to just keep doing what we're doing and spread the message. And I think it's his message that's so compelling. I mean, look at myself. I was totally not interested in politics before this man came along. It was hard for me to vote. I certainly never contributed to a political campaign. And now I'm contributing. I'm going to call people in Iowa. I'm going to get on a bus. I mean, for me, this is extraordinary. So I know that there are other people. What's that? Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, before, I never would do this for any candidate, not anyone. And I think that there are many people out there in a similar situation. So I'm just kind of keeping my fingers and my toes crossed,
Well, see, I would like to make one final point to you, Judith, because I think we're gonna let you go. We don't want to have you on the full half hour and put you on the hot seat. The final point is, the Dr. Paul, I think this campaign is about more than Ron Paul. It's about a message.
Yes.
And that message is what needs to continue on, even if Dr. Paul, he's 71 years old, even if he would perhaps not run again, even if he would perhaps leave elective office at some time, that message, that those roots have to continue, because what this is, and you're a fine example of people that I've been talking to, they're energized. This is a group of people that don't normally participate.
Right.
They've been turned off or they've, never really been captured by either political party.
Right.
And so, your activism is actually exciting. For a person like me, your activism is exciting.
Yeah.
It's not so much for me who you support, but just that you're out there trying to make a difference.
Right.
And I think one
thing, and then obviously I'll let you guys go. One thing that I think that Ron Paul has said over and over in his campaign, and it gives me hope, because you know, I'm kind of in my late 40s, early 50s, but he said, you know, he really feels it's the young people who are carrying his message, you know, to their parents and to their grandparents. And so he's very, very positive, and it gives me hope, because when he says it's the young people who are really listening and following, then that says, okay, we can have a better tomorrow, because these people are waking up, they are listening, they are participating, they get it, they totally get it. So, you know,
and, you know, we've said this before. I'm not sure if you've ever listened to our program before. We said before on this program, George, Will, and I, that we think Ron Paul would be the ideal third-party candidate right now.
Yeah.
We think he would be the ideal independent candidate. But I understand, I've seen enough of Dr. Paul's interviews that I understand exactly why he wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I understand the barriers that are against him doing it, as far as the institutional
right.
barriers and the fact that he'll get treated like Ralph Nader.
Right.
If he runs as a third party. But he is really, for his message is something, his message of freedom, his message of taking
yeah.
our government back
yeah.
is something that the American people are really craving right now.
All I can say is amen. Amen to that.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Thank you for actually emailing me earlier this week. It was really nice to hear from you. And any time we talk about Dr. Paul or anything else, feel free to call back in.
Okay, that'll be great. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, guys. Now, that was an interesting phone call, wasn't it?
That was.
Yeah.
All three of us are Democrats.
Right.
And yet we all seem to be, like, if not, you know, total fans, at least supporters of
yeah,
Ron
well, we're
Paul.
I think we're support. I don't think either. I don't know about your system, George, in New York State,
mm-hmm.
but here in Pennsylvania, Will and I would have to change our voter registration to vote for Ron Paul in the primary.
Really?
Yeah.
We have to vote by party or not at all.
Wow.
So it might be open in New York. I'm not sure. I didn't actually check before the show. But in Pennsylvania, and basically my personal philosophical difference with Dr. Paul is he's not a big believer in the welfare state or much federal oversight. And I just think there are some issues out there
mm-hmm.
that the federal government has to handle.
Yeah.
He wants the climate change issue handled at the state level, and I don't think that'll be effective. But essentially, though, something interesting about Dr. Paul, I have about 7 pages of his positions here in front of me. One of the interesting things I found out about is his website says he's against the welfare state, but yet he also voted for $70 billion increase in public housing funds. So I think he's against a system that perpetuates and keeps people in poverty, basically like the old welfare state was.
Right.
So I have a little bit of a different attitude towards the poor than I think the conservatism of Dr. Paul permits. So that's my basic difference and the reason why I probably couldn't vote for him. But I think we do respect him deeply.
It's more of a respecting of what he represents. And
right.
And let's face it,
and that's the
anybody... Anybody who Fox News can hate this much.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a friend of ours.
Exactly.
Well, I kind of look at Ron Paul as kind of like, I mean, since, you know, Jason, you and I, you know, do write for a site that started out exclusively as a wrestling site, I look at him as one of the guys who comes in like in the halfway point of the Royal Rumble. So, like somebody who you know isn't going to win the title shot, but who's there to fill up space. But he winds up staying
yeah.
there, just like a long, you know, like a pretty long period of time, and winds up making it to like the final four. So all of a sudden, people are like, "Wow, he could probably do it."
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think that the Republican Party wants him out of there so badly. I think they're going to start using the polls against him to cut him out of debates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut him out of things. I don't. If he keeps doing well, I think that's going to be the reaction of the party establishment there. I'm not so sure how long they're going to let him hang in, but I think that this kind of message, you're not going to just silence this kind of message by taking him off television. And I don't know if they understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I have a couple other questions for you guys. By the way, if anybody does want to join us, phone number is 718-664-6734, or you can send Will an instant message at CAPJ71. Yeah. since George has been doing all the talking today, Will's been like, right on. We'll give Will something to do. Okay. Why can't Ron Paul and other candidates like him, you know, we'll say Huckabee, Kucinich, Gravel, Joe Biden, Chris Dodd, why can't people like this get a fair shake in the media?
Because they're, in my opinion, they're not the big names like the Clintons, the Edwards, the Obamas, or the Giulianis. And a lot of them don't take the extreme, and therefore on positions, and therefore it takes the light off them, and the media then just decides it's not newsworthy. But they're mainly focused on the big three, but the big name.
You can say the big three because it really is the big three. The media coverage is really heavily tilted towards the star candidates, which are in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
You can say the big three. The media coverage is tilted towards the big three, but actually more even more so towards Obama and Clinton.
Right.
But go on.
No, that's all I had to say. Was just
I thought you had more.
Is that they seem
underneath the George rolling right along.
They just seem to pick the
their favorites.
Their favorites.
Yeah,
and then whoever gets the most media coverage has a better shot of winning at the polls.
You have to become a Mitt Romney and raise $20 million to get some media attention. You have to, do something to get on the news, or otherwise they're just not going to give you coverage. George.
I definitely got to go with Will here, saying that the media is really kind of looking out for that big draw. And anybody who will be like a sort of like a self-made candidate, somebody like Ron Paul and his likeness, just seems like, they're the ones that are kind of doing it on their own without the help of the media, and the media itself is kind of feeling a little slighted by that. They're basically feeling like, oh, there's somebody who doesn't need our help. Well, screw him then. We just won't give him any help.
Oh, that's exactly right, George.
Right.
That is 1,000% of the money, because as George and I both know from writing online, the mainstream media pretty much ignores the whole entire internet. They don't know what to do with it. They haven't figured out how to integrate and use it within their broadcasts, so they ignore it.
Yeah.
And consequently, anybody that's popular on the internet is either a novelty or is demeaned.
Which is why, whenever there is a story of a studio embracing the use of the internet and really kind of working with it, that's when I always make sure to cover it in the news, just to show, like, hey, it actually could happen all the time.
The interesting thing is, as Judith said, these are younger people.
Yeah.
That are getting their news online, they're getting their information online, they're gravitating towards these candidates. This is the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The future isn't the average age of the network news viewer, the big three network news, is right around 62, I believe. The median age of the people that watch ABC, NBC, CBS nightly news programs at 6:30 or 7, depending on where you live. Yeah, that's the old school, old crowd. The future crowd are the people that are getting all their news from The Daily Show, from Late Night Talk, from maybe Conan O'Brien's monologue, The Daily Show, Colbert Report, and online.
Mm-hmm.
And, people need to learn that that's the future, and you can't ignore it.
Right.
You can't ignore Ron Paul, because there's a lot of force behind Ron Paul
and
popular opinion.
And he's using from where he comes from as a candidate, he's using the proper tools to get his message out. He's using the internet. He's been on the Colbert Report. He's being mentioned on the Tom Hartman Show, and
Will's favorite,
in a positive way. That is,
Will's favorite, the Tom Hartman Show.
I've actually been, kind of really, thrilled at the fact that this man is, as you said, 71 years old, and he's using the internet so well. I just, last summer, I just got my grandparents on AOL, and that was enough of a chore as it was. But Ron Paul and his people are really doing the right thing, like the way that they are using the internet.
They're very savvy. Why does Fox News hate Ron Paul? Anyone of you can jump in. This is a two-parter. Why do they hate him?
Can I take this one, Will?
Sure. Be my guest.
Yeah, well,
Ron Paul, This is it plain and simple. By every talking point that Ron Paul has, he is flying in the face of everything that Fox News has been presenting to the public as truth. If they were to get behind Ron Paul, that would discredit every single thing that they have been saying for over 10 years now.
I couldn't have.
Good point.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I have been rehearsing that.
We'll dumber in full effect. Now, okay, George, you kind of answered this, but is it strictly because of his stance on Iraq?
It is because of his stance on Iraq. It is because of his stance on 9/11. It is because of how he views the role of the country. It is basically everything, and everything that they have been saying on every single one of their, you know, like their ratings leading shows has been the opposite.
It's everything that George said, but how the president and the Congress work together, and well, mainly the president uses the Constitution to exercise his powers,
right,
and not try to, you know, add or delete things.
I tried to step all over the Constitution and pretend like it doesn't exist because you're trying to make yourself an imperial dictator.
he didn't say it himself. Dictatorship would be a lot easier.
Yeah. That quote always sticks out in your mind.
I love that quote.
Me too.
See, Fox News is neoconservative. The president is neoconservative. The Republican Party is neoconservative. Ron Paul isn't neoconservative. He's an old school Barry Goldwater. I would put Ronald Reagan in there. Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan, sort of conservative. But I would say he's a more pure conservative than Reagan. He's a Goldwater conservative. Now, I have a quote for you guys. This is from Barry Goldwater. Now, those who seek absolute power, although they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth. And let me remind you, they are the very ones who will create the most hellish tyranny. That's George W. Bush.
Yeah.
He keeps grabbing more and more power and claiming it's in the name of good, but we keep losing rights, and the country keeps going in a bad direction.
Right.
Because of it. Now, what does the way the Republicans are treating Ron Paul, what does that tell you about the state of the Republican Party? I mean, they invoke Ronald Reagan's name at every 14 seconds. But what does that tell you about the if they'll treat a conservative like Ron Paul the way they have, what does that tell you about the Republicans? Either of you.
Sure, I'll go. I mean, in my opinion, it tells me that the Republican Party is very divided on issues and extreme, and that they are actually going leaner, farther to the right than they were previously. But you know, this whole division thing was what we saw in the Democrats. Whole argument a few years ago.
Yeah, the Democrats have gone through almost a decade of warfare and division, and it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Hillary, anti-Hillary argument is a fine representative of the division of the Democratic Party. I actually think that the Republican conservatism doesn't exist, and almost doesn't exist in the Republican Party anymore. It's become a neoconservative party. It's become a cut taxes, big government, pro-war party.
Right.
That's not conservatism, people.
Nope.
You know, there's something else now. They're not conservatives. But
by slapping the name neoconservative, and people, a lot of people still like, well, what the hell does that mean? You know, if it's not conservative, neoconservative. It means that they can basically
do. People assume when they hear conservative that it's the same thing as Ronald Reagan, but you know, it isn't.
Right. They're basically giving themselves the authority to make it up as they go along. And say that they're being neoconservative. They can hide behind this.
Yeah, and it's probably the worst of all evils of neoconservatism. If you want to put liberalism, conservatism, and neoconservatism in there, and neoliberalism, you want to have four different separate groups. Neoconservatism is probably the worst of all things put together in one package.
Yeah,
you have the big spending. You have just everything I just rattled off, the big spending, the pro-war, the imperial presidency, the U.S. as dominant world power attitude, the anti-foreign relations, everything you can put in one bad package is neoconservatism.
I'm just kind of thinking about it. Like, this is like you have people like, say, like Andrew Sullivan, who has gone on record saying, I will never trust this man again. It's just like he's doing an incredible job of turning his own party against him.
Yeah. Okay, guys, real quick, I'll get off subject just a little bit. Did you guys follow W's press conference Thursday?
I remember was the Valerie Plame issue.
I'll give you each. What'd you think of it?
Just the fact that the man said that, you know, by the decision to commute, you know, like Libby's sentence was a fair and balanced decision. What size balls does this man have? To be able to go ahead and say that. It's just like, this is a Fox News decision.
Okay, well, you got any thoughts on this? Because the W has been in the news for this press conference.
I got to admit that I missed that, but if that's what he said, oh, gosh.
Yeah, he basically went out and flipped everybody off and said, things in Iraq are going fine. They made progress on 8 out of 18. That's pretty good.
And Jason, really quickly. We got an IM, a compliment from someone who said that they're digging the show. So,
cool. Well, we're digging having you dig the show.
What was that?
Okay, we're heading out. Okay, I might actually go.
Thank you very much for the compliment.
Yeah, we're digging. You're digging. So we might actually go a little bit over 7:30, boys. If that's okay with you, just so we can, you know, talk about a few things, cover all this ground. Ron Paul. What do you got? I asked you last week if you think he can hang in the race. Do you still think he can hang in? And is the Republican Party going to try to screw him, basically push him out?
I'll say yes and yes.
I say yes and yes.
They're not
going
to. We're just going to say yes and yes. Well, go ahead.
I think both yes. I think they're going to try to screw him because he is a threat because Ron Paul, in my mind, if he gets the Republican nomination, he has the best chance of screwing the Democrats because he has the best chance of swaying independents and conservative Democrats to vote for the Republicans. And he understands the issues and doesn't live in a fantasy world like some other Republicans do. So.
You guys are this close to being replaced by a typing monkey and a singing panda.
That's silly, Jason. Where are you going to find a singing panda around here?
Where did I find you two? I can find anything. I have the power of the interweb with me. I'll just go to a zoo in China and tell them I want to marry her. They'll let me have her. Of course, you know, she'll get deported due to the new immigration rules, but we'll have her on a few programs at least so they get something out of the deal. You know, I'm trying to get ready to do our Joe Biden Minute, boys, and for some reason, our play button isn't coming up on Joe Biden's theme music, and we need the theme music. So, if this keeps up, I'm going to have you guys
hum it
out to the chief. Yeah.
You want us to hum it?
Okay, I got it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. George, sit down.
Yep.
Take a deep breath. Get your composure. It is time for the Joe Biden Minute.
Oh, I love this.
I never thought this music would ever have a positive connotation again. Okay, this week in the Joe Biden Minute, Joe Biden had this to say after the Iraq initial assessment report came out on Thursday. Quote, this report is a devastating indictment of this administration's failure to accomplish its most important mission, destroying al-Qaeda and the threat it poses. And it makes a mockery of the Republican refrain that they are much tougher on terrorists than the Democrats. President Bush's war in Iraq is denying us the freedom, flexibility, and credibility to meet the major threats to our security, starting with the radical jihadists, like al-Qaeda, who use terror as a tool and seek weapons of mass destruction. We must make it our priority to end the war in Iraq and refocus the energy, ingenuity, and resources of this country on defeating al-Qaeda once and for all.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been your Joe Biden Minute. So, you know, Joe Biden, you know, George, I'm doing this just for you. You realize that, right?
Of course.
Because now, if you get your Joe Biden 60 seconds, you're much calmer on the program than if you don't. You're like a kid without a cookie.
Well, I do have to say the shakes have stopped. So.
So, yeah, Ron Paul, we agree that basically Ron Paul's message deserves to be spread. Okay, one more quick question. Would either of you contemplate voting for Ron Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Seriously.
You both would consider it?
I would consider it.
Well, I think that's a feather in Ron Paul's cap to have two distinguished Americans such as yourselves thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
You both know what you're talking about. And, you know, if you say so, I'm sure that you must have swayed at least with our live audience one or two people right now.
Then my job is done.
So let's get... What's that?
Then my job is done.
Yep.
Yeah, well, the Biden supporters will start fighting with the Paul supporters, and then we're going to have a real
headache. Oh, that's the real job.
It'll be you against all the Paul supporters. So let's get to the pimp section, last part. Let's bring this puppy home. Okay, George, what do you got to pimp for us this week?
This will be my third week of Dateline to Catch a Predator month, where this week I will be covering a scene from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
I'm telling you, George, when you get that email with the subject line saying, "I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline," don't be surprised. Well, do you have anything to add this week before we go home?
Nope, I have nothing to pimp this week.
I know. So excited when you had something last week, and now you just let me down.
Sorry.
Okay, guys, you know where to find me. Tuesday, Friday, Political Universe, PoliticalMedia.com, Blogger News Network, everywhere else all the time. Visit our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/thepoliticaluniverseradio. I almost got it confused with the column. See that? I almost got my own stuff confused. But that's pretty much where we are. We are everywhere, yet we are nowhere. That's it for this week. Next week, I think Sunday's show will go to preparing for the Democratic debate next Monday night. Guys, we might do an hour, depending on what we have to talk about. Until then, this is Jason for George and Will saying thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.